Today I want to preach two messages that complement one another. They're not really parts one and part two, but they're messages that go together. This morning I preach a message, you know, it's in the bulletin, Christmas, called Christmas Faith, and then tonight preach a message called Missing Christmas Faith. And we'll be in the book of Luke, both this morning, chapter 2 this morning, and in chapter 1 tonight. But this morning, I want to start with three passages of Scripture that I'd just like to read for you. You don't need to turn to it. They are all three pretty familiar passages of Scripture. The first one is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." And then Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then going back to the book of Hebrews, back to the 11th chapter, reading verse 6, where the Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him," to please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, these three scriptures, these three passages of scriptures, do three things. And these are not my three points, but these are my three things I want to tell you about what these three scriptures tell us about. I actually have 5 points this morning, and I'll get to those in a second. But these three passages of scripture, first of all, tell us what faith is. It says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, if you can see something, faith doesn't need to be involved. If you can see it, you don't need faith. The Bible says in Romans 8:24, it says, "Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it?" And faith is believing something you can't see and you can't explain and acting on that belief. For example, let's assume this morning that Brother Pete got up and said,
"Preacher, I think Brother Wayne has got a $20 bill in his pocket and he'll give it to you."
Really? Now, I can't see what's in Brother Wayne's pocket. And I don't know why he would give me a $20 bill. But I believe what Brother Pete said, and so I'm going to act on that belief. I'm going to go back and see Brother Wayne and say, "Brother Wayne, Brother Pete told me that you have a $20 bill in your pocket." "Oh, that's a quarter." "And if I ask you, you'd give it to me."
"I will."
And see there? I have the $20 bill. You don't have any more, do you, Brother Wayne? No, okay. Okay, now that's what faith is. I couldn't see it, but I believed what somebody told me about it. I acted on that belief, and I gleaned the result of that faith, of that belief, by getting this $20 bill. So it tells us, those three passages of Scripture tell us what faith is. They also tell us that we're saved by faith. We're saved from hell. All our sins are washed away by faith. We're made right with God by faith. We get a home in heaven by faith. We read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And I'll just tell you this morning, without faith, you cannot get saved. You cannot get right with God. And then it tells us, number three, that it's only through faith that we can please God. For it is, we read in Hebrews 11:2, "For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report." And all of the people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and there's certain people named, and then at the end of the chapter, and it says, "And all the others, that are too many to mention, obtained this good report from God by their faith." And then it says, we read in Hebrews 11:6, "Without it, without faith, it's impossible to please God." Without faith, you can't do it. It can't be done. I mean, you will not please God without faith. And so this morning, I want to look at a part of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And I want to talk to you this morning, preach to you this morning on Christmas faith. Christmas faith. And we're going to look at the shepherds and the faith that they exhibited. And I want to make five statements about the shepherds. Number one, they heard. They heard. We know the story. They were in the fields of Bethlehem watching over their sheep. An angel came. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And this one angel that was present at this particular time said, "Fear not." He said, I've got good news for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. And he said, this is how you'll know that you found him. He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes and he'll be laying in a manger. And I would remind you this morning that all faith starts with hearing. All faith starts with hearing something. And the faith that we need to have in God starts by hearing his word. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The shepherds heard the word of God. It was delivered by an angel. The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to hear the word of God. The word of God says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The word of God said, "For the wages of sin is death." The word of God says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the word of God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, getting saved comes through faith, and faith starts from hearing. The shepherds were in the field. They could not look, from where they were in the fields, they could not look into the stable. From where they were in the fields, they could not see into the manger. And they could not explain why God would send a Savior to save them. This morning, I can't take you back, and you can't go back, and you can't physically look in that stable, in that manger, and see the little baby Jesus. This morning, I can't take you back, and you can't go back to outside the city of Jerusalem, to that hill called Golgotha, and you cannot physically see the Son of God on the cross, bearing every one of your sins. I can't take you there. You can't go there. And you can't see what Jesus did for you on Calvary. And I sure can't explain why a holy, righteous God would send his Son to die for sinners like us. I mean, I can try and I can preach about it. But like we talked about last week, every time I do talk about the love of God, we're just scratching the surface. I can't explain it in its entirety. No man can. When we get to heaven, I think it'll take us a good part of that 10,000 years to really understand what God did and how much he loved us. And when we've been there 10,000 years, we've just begun. Just begun. But I can't take you and show you those things. I can't explain in its entirety why God would do it. But I've heard it, and you have heard it, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So number one, the shepherds heard. Number two, they came. They came. We read it in Luke chapter 2. When the angels were gone away, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And the Bible says they came with haste. They heard it, and then they acted on what they heard. God had said through the angel, "Hey, the Savior has been born. The Messiah has been born, that one that has been foretold, told about in all the prophets. He's been born this very night. And he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's laying in a manger in a stable. And the shepherd said, let's go see him. Let's go find him. Let's go see this one that our Heavenly Father has told us about." The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 17, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." I can hear, I can believe, but if I don't put action to that belief, my faith is dead. I mean, Brother Pete stood up. He said, "Hey, preacher, Brother Wayne's got a $20 bill in your pocket. He'll give it to you if you ask him." I mean, I could believe Brother Pete, and I can believe that all day. But I have no faith if that's all that I do. I don't have my faith is dead, and it was dead until I acted on what I heard and went back and asked for that $20 bill and got it. Faith without works is dead. The shepherds heard, but their faith was made alive when they went to Bethlehem. You've heard that you're a sinner. You've heard the wages of sin is death. You've heard that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price of your sin. And your faith is dead until you make it alive by coming and calling upon Jesus and asking him to save you. So they heard, they came. Number three, they found. They found. In Luke chapter 2, verse 16, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." They found exactly what the angel told them they would find. A little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And I'll tell you this morning that exercised faith always finds what God promises. Exercised faith. When I put feet to my faith, when I come based on what I hear and what I believe, and when I come and I add works to my faith, it always rewards us. God always rewards us by giving us what he has promised. I know most of us here this morning are saved. We know Jesus as our Savior. We're on our way to heaven. But again, I'll come back to those verses that reminded us that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And tonight, we're going to talk more about it. We're going to talk about missing Christmas faith. We're going to talk about Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And I'll make the point tonight again, but the very people that should have faith in God, if there was anybody that should have faith in God, it should have been a priest. The one who had studied the scriptures, the one who told other people about the prophecies of God and the Messiah coming. And an angel came to him and said, "Hey, you and your wife are going to have a son, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah." And this old priest said, "Who, us? We're too old to have a baby." And he did, and well, again, we'll go into it tonight. But if anybody should have had faith in God, it should have been this priest. And if anybody should have faith in God, it's people that are saved, that exercise their faith to get right with God, to exercise their faith to reserve a place in heaven. And yet so many of us don't live by faith. You see, It takes faith to please God. And so we hear, call upon him and he will save you. He did. We called. He saved. And then he says, live by faith. Do you know that prayer is a matter of faith? When we pray, we are exercising our faith. God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. I can believe that all day. I hear it from the word of God. And if I don't call upon him, my faith is dead. But when I exercise that faith and pray, God will answer. You say, well, just a minute, preacher. I prayed and God hadn't given me what I wanted. Not all the time. I'm sure glad he doesn't give me what I want all the time. And I'm glad he doesn't give you what you want all the time. Because I'll remind you this morning, you don't, what you want may not be the best thing for you. And instead of giving us what we want that may be bad for us, God gives us what we may not even know that we need, which is best for us. But prayer is exercising faith. Not being anxious. Brother Ray talked a little bit about last night. Not being anxious, not worrying, is exercising faith. Because the Bible says that if I seek first the kingdom of God, all these things that we worry about, God will take care of. And I exercise, when I exercise my faith, I am rewarded. He is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of them that live by faith. And we as Christians who have a home in heaven because we exercise that faith need to exercise it as we live for him. And again, we'll talk more about that tonight. So they heard, they came, they found. Number four, they were changed. They were changed. In Luke chapter 2, verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They came hoping. They left knowing. They came seeking. They left having found. They came having not seen, but they left witnesses. I guarantee you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you will exercise the measure of faith that God has dealt to every man, and if you come to Jesus Christ this morning, he will change you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He'll change your nature. You can trade in that old nature for a new nature. We won't get rid of the old nature till we get to heaven, but you can get a new one that will live inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll change your desires. He will. The things that you want and crave now that are unholy and ungodly, once you ask Jesus to save you, he will change your desires. And he'll change your destination. You're headed for hell. Hell's a real place. All those that reject Jesus Christ will spend eternity there. You come to him, he'll reserve a place for you in heaven. All things become new. So they heard, they came, they found, they were changed. And then number five, they told. They told. Luke chapter 2, verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They became witnesses. They told others. And the Bible says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. There's a whole world that needs to hear the story of Christmas. There's a whole world that needs to hear the story of Easter. There's a whole world that needs to hear the story of Jesus. We that have heard, we that have come, we that have found, we that have been changed need to tell. The little children last week sang it, part of their program. We sang it last night. One of the groups sang it last night at our Christmas banquet. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. You're here today. You've heard. You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you come? If all you do is hear, even though you might believe it, if you don't come, your faith is dead. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden under the burden of sin, and I will give you rest. And I guarantee if you'll come this morning, you will find exactly what God promises. You will find a Savior. You will find salvation. You will find rest. Would you come? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And I pray for those that are here that might not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray, Father, in just a second, if there's those here that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that they would get up from their seat as we sing the invitation song. They would come down front and they would let us tell them and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then for the many Christians that are here, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. And if there's something in our life where we are not living by faith, if there's something in our life where we've heard a Bible principle and not taken it for ourselves, not applied it in our lives, not walked in it, then I pray, Father, we would come and we would say, dear God, I know I'm not living by faith, but this morning I'm making a decision. I'm gonna listen to what the Bible says. I'm gonna believe it and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna exercise my faith. And so I pray, Father, that you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit leads us. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.